Abraham.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I'm listening, Lord.
Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand on me, neither do thy anything unto me. In other words, full stop. Don't continue this trial. Don't continue. I know that you love me. Don't touch him with the knife. Do not hurt him with the knife. Do not violate him now. He says, do the harm. Neither do no harm to him. Neither touch him. He says, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God. In other words, he's been walking with God a pretty good while now. God tests him out. God knows he loves him. God knows he's trusting him. He says, now I also know you fear me. You fear me more than you love him. You fear me more than you love him. I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son. You would have gave the one you love on this earth more than anything because you fear what I might be able to do or what I could do. This fear brought him to obedience to God. It says, lay not thy hand on the lad, neither do thou anything to him. In other words, you have done all you were supposed to do. You have proved your love. You have proved your fear of God. You have passed your test. He says, I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son. At no time did he balk him. At no time did he try to go around a long way around to try to keep it from happening. He immediately got the wood. He immediately loaded it up. He immediately headed for Moriah. And he immediately, when he saw the place to go, he took the sun and the wood and the knife and the fire, and he carried it up there. He even had his hand raised. I know he did. He even had his hand raised. Jesus said, stop. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught. Wait a minute. You don't reckon that that ram would be kicking and squirming and the whole time if the lamb's caught inside? I know, because I had goats when I was young. If that goat was tied up, twisted up in some wire or something, he'd have been raising Cain. And yet, through all of this, not one sound from that ram. Not one iota to look around. Oh, look, there's a ram right there, Dad. Not one. You'd bet Isaac, if there had been one laying there, he'd have seen him. So we've got to understand that this ram, wasn't there until right then. Wow. God miraculously puts a ram in a thicket of briars at the moment he needs it. Just what he needed, a sacrifice. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him, that's like that well we had last week, huh? And behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And there we go, another place where some people would say, there's the crown of thorns that was on his head, a briar patch, a thing of thorns that was laid upon Jesus' head, and they pounded it down upon him. This goat, and it's very difficult to get a goat or a ram who has horns, even two horns. Very seldom will you ever find one caught in any kind of a thicket. Very seldom. I mean, that's just once in 100,000 probably that you'd ever see that. And right here at this very time, there's a ram caught by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram And he offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Boy, was he jubilant, I bet you. He was praising God. You talk about it. He said, we're going to go up here and praise God and worship. Now you think that when he laid that ram on that thing and he took that knife and he slayed that ram and he set that fire, you don't think he was singing glory to God? You don't think he was doing some worshiping right there? I know it's not in the text, but it says, what do you say, a couple of chapters, verses back? Me and the son, we're going to go. You reckon who else was worshiping? Isaac, knowing he was just laid on the fire. Isaac, knowing the knife was already in the air. Isaac, knowing that he was just seconds from being this sacrifice. I guarantee you, he was doing some worshiping on that mountain. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be. So he was on in the mount of the Lord it shall be, and the name of the mountain was Jehovah Jireh. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time. Whoa, we're still on the mountain. And Jesus says again to him, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Jesus, and we always talk about in Hebrew how he had no higher thing to swear by than himself. Right here, Jesus Christ himself, the angel of the Lord, swears to Abraham, he says, by myself, I swear to you. So another promise given to Abraham that Abraham had no part in the promise of, Jesus says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. By myself, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. Those Jewish people are blessed. These people go around saying all kind of bad things about them. They don't understand. You're fighting against God himself. You're arguing against God himself. Blessing. God has said, no matter what's going on, I'm going to bless these people. He says, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the seashore. And they're all over the place. They're everywhere. Even during the war, when they tried to annihilate them, they still kept coming. They're still here. God will not let his people be wiped off the face of the earth. Says, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. In thy seed there's going to be coming a Savior. In thy seed at a time. Now you don't think Jesus preached the gospel to Abraham? That Jesus didn't tell Abraham there's a Savior coming? There's a Savior who will die in the stead of his people. There's a Savior who will actually be the sacrifice that your son represented right here on this mountain. That Jesus didn't preach the gospel. Like what just took place here, God himself is going to slay his son. God himself is going to slay his Savior. He says, so Abraham returned to the young men. Play on words there. You don't see Isaac right there. Everybody would assume that Isaac came back. He did. But it says here, I'm going to give you a head of the camp thing. We won't see Isaac again until the bride comes. It's about 68 verses. Isaac will not be mentioned again until the bride comes. So, this was whose cross. This was death, burial, and resurrection. The next time the church sees Christ, the bride is called up. Just a play there for y'all to play with. It says here, so
Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Those people are pretty good flocks. In fact, all the rest of Abraham's life he lived right there in Beersheba. He lived right there. He says, and he came to pass after these things, after the deal, after they came back. Very, very the dead out of my sight. wrought a mighty prince among us. He kind of took 300 men and saved Sodom and Gomorrah way back yonder. He had walked all over the place being honest and upright with poor people. He said, thou art a mighty prince among us. In thy choice of our sepulchers, bury thy dead. He says, any one of us would be glad to let you put them in our cemetery. Any one of us be honored for you to put her in our cemetery. And Abraham said, no, no, he says, bury thy dead that advances among us. In the choice of our sepulchers, bury the dead. None of us shall withhold from thee thy sepulcher, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood and bowed himself to the people of the land, even the children of Heath, and he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me of Ephron, the son of Zorah, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, so much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession, a burying place among you. In other words, look, I appreciate you offering me your cemetery. I appreciate you offering me to put my wife in all of y'all's sepulchers. But I want her in a sepulcher. I want her in a great grave where only me and my family be the ones who go in there and look around for bodies. Still, I don't want just anybody bringing somebody and throwing down beside my wife. I don't want the Canaanites and the heathen all brought in there. I want this to be a family spot. I want this to be a place just for my family. Because I appreciate you offering me your time. Give it to thee in the presence of thy sons, and the people give it I thee, bury thy dead. In other words, there were plenty of people there to see this transaction going on. Just watch these two guys out by the oak tree. They were at the city gate, and they were, his whole family was there. The sons of Heath, the people of Heath were there, and Abraham's people were there. He says, I'll give it to you. We know that's a startup for, okay, we're going to make a deal here. We're going to get this going on. He says, I want you to have it as a burying place. I give it thee in the presence of all your sons. You remember the story about David. David had done something evil. God had sent a pestilence upon all the people, and he ran out to a threshing floor. Up an altar there and sacrifice goes. God stopped the pestilence and he says, I want to put an altar right here. And the man on the threshing floor says, here's all the ox, here's all the threshing instruments, take them, do what you want with them. And David said, nay, but I'll buy them from you because I won't give God anything. And this is the same principle here. Abraham said, this is a very special thing for me. I will not take it. Abraham bowed himself to the people of the land, and he spake to that effort, and the audience of the people of the land saying to him, but if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field, take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. So take this money, and I will bury my dead. Let's take this as a legal transaction. This a real life possession of the Hebrews. Take this money and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered and said, Abraham, he said to him, Abraham saying unto him, my Lord, marry your wife. It's only word for it. What is that between thee and me? Marry it there. The idea. Let's quit talking about the money.
Abraham hearkened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out Ephron the silver he had named in the audience of the sons of Eve, 400 shekels of silver, currency money for the merchant. In other words, he says, okay, you said what it's worth. He also said, he's going to do it, but before I go do it, I'm going to make sure the transaction is seen. I'm going to make sure, you said it's worth 400 shekels. Before me and you leave this place right now, you're going to have 400 shekels. I told Abraham to cause this, but he never did come pay me. He buried that old woman up in there, and he never came back. No. The transaction was done before she was ever there. Before he ever took off, before he ever left Ephraim, before he ever went up there to bury her, the money was weighed out. The money was put in his hand. The field of Ephraim, which is in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field of Cain, which was therein. He bought also all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the border around about, and made sure. In other words, I don't know how many acres was there, but whatever that field was in front of that cave, and all the trees in that field, every bit of it belonged to Abraham. And he made it sure the money was deed, the title stamp, everything was taken care of. He made it sure. To Abraham, for a possession, presence of the children of Heath, for all that went in and out of his, in other words, everybody in the whole place. Nobody was saying, well, I wonder who owns that place right over there. They all knew. That's Abraham's supper. That's Abraham's cave. That's Abraham's field. And he brought it from Ephraim, the presence of all the people. There was no doubt about it. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave in the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same is Hebron. Hebron, is that not the city of David? Is that not where David had his first kingdom at, or where he ruled the first time in the city of Hebron? I had to check that out. That's coming on my mind. In Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession, for a burying place, by the sons of Heth. We get to where Abraham dies, there upon him in this very same cave. And when we get to where Joseph dies, they'll bring him to this very same cave. And then when Joseph gets brought out of Egypt, his bones, they're supposed to be brought here also, if I'm not mistaken. So when Abraham bought this, these people understood this is where we are supposed to be. And he buried his wife for a possession of a burying place of the sons of Heth. He didn't do anything without paying. Abraham didn't go to his grave owing people for stuff every time he owed something to pay. So we went through two chapters tonight, but they were very good chapters, and there's lots of study in there, and I probably could have gone over a lot of other things, but we're going to continue here in the next, where are we at in this chapter? 24?